In the forest of bleached wood, something stirred, something big. The chill grew frostier as Bryn peered into the forest. The world of Nifril was dark, not black like it had been at the bottom of Neath, where she couldn't see her own hands, but dim and hazy. This new world settled for shades of gray that built up to an eventual ebony, where the sky had always promised to be. Bryn wasn't aware of any light that made it possible for her to see. But then what good was light when she didn't have eyes? The world was no longer something she saw, but rather something she perceived.
What is that?
Bryn couldn't tell if it was a large branch that snapped, or just a really close one. Gifford drew his sword. The crow finally moved. Flashing black wings, it flew to a low branch of a nearby tree. Even it no longer felt safe. Struggling to penetrate the hazy silhouettes of the eaves, Bryn finally saw movement, a giant hulking creature bristling with fur.
What is it?
I think it's a bear. A really big bear.
Could that be?
Out of the shadows, the beast lumbered, a great brown bear. It rose on its hind legs and roared so loudly that the trees shook.
The brown.
She'd never seen the bear that had killed Conniger and so many others, but she'd heard what it looked like. Reddish, the color of dried blood, and huge from a steady diet of human meat. Maeve had been among its victims.
Fire! If only we had fire!
Roan looked at Bryn, and the little miracle worker's eyes brightened. Without a word, she rushed madly toward the bear.
Roan!
She didn't go far. Stopping short of the trees, she snatched up a handful of fallen branches before running back.
What are you doing?
Fire! It will be afraid of it!
Roan dropped her armload of wood and tore open her pack. Rain joined her on the ground, breaking the branches into manageable sticks.
I could use larger pieces.
Roan was fishing out raw wool and a bit of cloth from her side bag. She handed these to Rain before digging back into her pouch.
Does that even work here?
In the trees, the growling menace drew closer. Bryn could hear it lumbering with heavy feet through dead leaves. Rain helped Gifford drag a fallen log, while Roan began striking a rock with a jagged bit of metal. Sparks flashed. She stopped, put her head down, and blew into the pile that Rain had fashioned. Light appeared, a wonderful warm yellow flame that raised a host of shadows, which danced across the pale wood. Their patch of ground became a place to defend. A clearing turned into a campsite, a wilderness transformed into civilization. Gifford watched the flickering shadows dance among the trees.
Build it larger!
Let's hope it's still afraid of fire.
Tressa found a stout stick and raised it like a club.
Will this fire work, or is it, you know, maybe it's attracted to the light?
What? Do you think it's a giant growling moth bear?
Look around you. Is that really so crazy right now?
Gifford didn't answer and went back to collecting more wood.
Don't happen to have a spear in your bag of tricks, do you, Roan? A spear would be handy.
She looked up.
I can make one.
Gifford smiled back.
Maybe next time.
Here, use this.
Roan lit the bristling end of a branch and handed it to Gifford. With his sword in his right hand and the torch in his left, he advanced on the beast.
What are you up to, Gif?
Tressa's tone suggested he shouldn't be doing anything of the sort.
Hoping to scare it away.
Gifford swung the flaming brand before him. The bear, still some distance off, snorted and shuffled back, retreating once again on all fours.
It's working!
Gifford pressed his attack, advancing forward and thrusting with the torch. The brown growled in anger, and as Gifford reached the row of trees, the bear turned and bolted back into the forest. Gifford watched it run.
Ha! Look at that!
How very cruel.
The words issued from the fire. Roan and Rain leapt back from their creation as it grew beyond its meager fuel to a blazing bonfire. Everyone retreated to the edges of the light as the comforting yellow-orange glow drained to an eerie white-blue flicker. In the depths, a face appeared. A woman's face. Sharp, chipped cheeks, black razor lips, a knife-blade nose, and pinprick eyes that glared out at them.
My bear was nearly coming to welcome you, and that is how you greet her.
The lady in the fire then smiled, those thin black lips curling tightly at the corners.
She might have also eaten you, I suppose. Can't help it, it's her nature, but still, it was quite rude of you.
Who are you?
Bryn was impressed the woman found the courage to speak. Her own voice was trapped somewhere deep beneath her throat. Maybe it was only an illusion, but the image in the fire was the scariest thing Bryn had ever seen. The flaming expression looked surprised, even a dash hurt.
Why, I'm the ruler of this place, my dear. I'm Pharaoh, third-born daughter of Etan and Elan, Empress of the Dark, God of the Fray, Lord of the Damned, Queen of the White Tower. Oh, you need to come see the tower. The place is lovely this time of year. The bone just glistens against the dark sky.
Drome had said they were twins, but Bryn saw no similarity. Compared with his sister, the god of the dwarves was a jolly old uncle with a quirky sense of humor.
I thought I would be considerate and extend an invitation to visit. We can have a nice dinner, or pretend to at least. I'm easy to find. Can't miss me. I live in the giant tower in the center. All roads lead to me. Just be sure to bring that marvelous key with you.
If Bryn's heart hadn't already stopped, it would have now. The blue fire's glow revealed the same reaction on the others' faces.
Don't look so shocked. Did you think you could stroll in here and I wouldn't know about that little trinket Turin gave you?
Pharaoh pronounced the name in a mocking voice.
It isn't his to give, you know. He stole it, much the way he steals everything. Misplaced loyalty, that's what we have here. You're working for the wrong person.
The fiery eyes shifted toward Gifford.
Especially you. Trust that I can understand, but not you, poor boy. You're from finer stock. You should know better than to serve an evil god. Don't you have some sort of sense about these things? Can't you tell the difference? We're the good ones. The virtuous, the believers in freedom, kindness, compassion, and love. Turin is a tyrant. He murders, lies, cheats, steals, and has managed to imprison all who would oppose him. This is his little oubliette, his forgetting place, where he banishes all his troubles and truths, embarrassments, and fears. But that key, which rightfully belongs to my father, will let us out. With it in my hand, I can undo eons of wrongful imprisonment. Bring it to me.
We aren't here to bring you anything.
And yet you will. In this place, I am supreme.
Pharaoh caused the fire to flare, the bluish glow draining the color from every face and making the pale trees glow.
There is nowhere you can go, no corner to hide in. And make no mistake, I am not my brother. He's well-meaning, but a fool. Bring me the key and I will forgive your crimes. Defy me and I will take it. And for my trouble, I will cast you all into the abyss to spend eternity with the Typhons.
Abyss and Typhons.
Bryn tried to make mental notes, but thinking while horrified was difficult.
You wouldn't come to us begging if you were as powerful as all that.
The fire eyes flashed.
Come here, dear boy. Let me show you what you get for disobedience in my realm.
Gifford took an awkward step forward. Even when crippled, he had moved with less effort, less struggle. Step by step, he crept toward the flames, his face pinched with strain.
In my brother's principality, there is no pain. There is only eternity, a bland gray existence. But here in my realm, you will feel your mistakes. For what is to be gained if nothing is to be lost?
The fire flared brighter, glowing white in the center, making Bryn squint just to see.
Stagger closer, crippled brat, and feel the...
With a belch of smoke, the face of Pharaoh vanished along with the flames. Beside the red glowing embers stood Roan with a now empty water skin.
Bad fire.